Welcome to Smart in the City, the Babble podcast where we bring together top actors in the smart city arena, sparking dialogues and interactions around the stakeholders and themes most prevalent for today's citizens and tomorrow's generations. I am your host, Tamlin Shimizu, and I hope you will enjoy this episode and gain knowledge and connections to accelerate the change for a better urban life. Smart in the City is brought to you by Babble Smart Cities. We enable processes from research and strategy development to co-creation and implementation. To learn more about us, please visit the Babble platform at babble-smartcities.eu. So today we're diving into a really fascinating discussion centered on Venice, the city of Venice, a city renowned, of course, for rich history, unique urban environment, and now its role in the Toyota Mobility Foundation's Sustainable Cities Challenge. So together with Detroit and Varanasi, Venice has been selected as a host city for this global initiative, and it's all about low carbon transport solutions. So with me today to tell you all about this, because I also don't know enough and I'm excited to dig into it and learn a lot more. Of course, we have a couple of great guests for you. So we have with us from the city of Venice, Paola Ravena. She is the director of European policies and projects for the city of Venice. Welcome, Paola.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to have you here. I'm really excited to hear more about Venice. And also with her today, we have Andy Fuchs, the general manager of Toyota Mobility Foundation in Europe. Welcome, Andy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So to get warmed up and into the flow of things, I like to start off with a bit of a teaser question. So here's a fun question for you both. So first, maybe to you, Andy, if the Toyota Mobility Foundation were a mode of transport, so a bike, a train, a car, whatever you want to call it, what would it be and why?
That's a tricky question, because I think we wouldn't be any of that. We would be rather the platform, because that's what we try to do, to bring together various players, exactly all what you mean, all these moods, to build a better mobility for all that is inclusive, resilient, and sustainable.
Yeah, very good. So you're like a mobility hub, right?
Yes, in a way.
Okay. Yeah. If you had to, you know, bringing it all together, multimodal transport system, we'll go with then. Good, Paola. If you had to choose, the city of Venice were a mode of transport, what would it be and why?
Of course, because I live also in the historical center of Venice, the first will be a boat. Talking about Venice. Even if the shape of the island is a fish, but anyway, it's Venice. We consider, in general, most of the people consider Venice the historical island in the middle of the water, but it's in fact included the mainland. So the modal transport of Venice is an intermodal transport together with the connection with the water, and so the boat and the mainland, where we wanted to develop more the use of bike lines or biking.
Yeah, very good. I like boats, so yeah, I like that answer. So I also want to get to know you as people before we start digging into, you know, everything about the challenge and all of this that's going on. So maybe Paola, you could start with telling us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What's your background? How did you end up in your role today?
Okay, as I said, I come from Venice. I was born and grew up in Venice, and my background is business economics. I have been studying in Venice in Ca' Foscari University, but then I had the opportunity to do a master course in Rotterdam. So I have to say that my actual competencies on my job come from this master course that was management of European metropolitan regions. So I have learned how to manage a territory, take in account the environment point of view, the social inclusion point of view, and then development of the area. I started my career in working for the municipality of Venice, for chance, as always in my life. And my idea was to work for the big distribution of food for the supermarket. But then I really enjoyed to work for the, in order to improve the quality of life of citizens, of cities, to improve the quality of public services for a multitude, for all the citizens, instead of only one entrepreneur. So I decided to continue in the municipality. My job starting from the, because I graduated in business economics, from accounting to management control. And then since 2008, after this master course, I started with the implementation of sustainable urban strategies and using the European funds. So the European cohesion policy in the different way give me the opportunity to develop a project together with the colleagues from the other departments, like in the case of sustainable mobility, and implementing and reporting in a European, I have to say, perspective, exchanging with other cities, research institutes, universities. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, really interesting work and interesting background. Thank you so much for sharing. Andy, to you, tell me about yourself. Where are you from? What are you doing? What's your goal in life? Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, born in Germany and went to university as well, where I had my master's degree. But then pretty much during the university times, already came in touch with the automotive industry, and that never left me. So I'm 30 years plus in the automotive industry in various functions around the globe, from Germany to Argentina and back, I would almost say, from sales, marketing, motorsports, being involved in Formula One. And then this opportunity came up to join the Toyota Mobility Foundation as a nonprofit foundation of the Toyota Group, where I now landed. What I've seen in all these years, and this made it so attractive to switch and to go to the foundation, is the tremendous success of the vehicle, because it's really a success story. If you look back when we were young, there were, well, every family had one car. Today, every member has a car. And one could say, wow, that's quite a story. But on the other hand, if we're now discussing about a transition, it cannot only be a transition towards decarbonized vehicles. We have to look also how we have a model shift, because this is our cities, like Venice. They are not built for mountains of cars or any other cities that are old, particularly in Europe. And this makes it so interesting to work now in this area and to address these issues that are so burning these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I love your story as well. So thank you for sharing. Andy, I want to ask you a little bit more. You've talked a bit about Toyota Mobility Foundation, but can you elaborate on the mission in Venice and what's going on with this challenge? What is it?
Maybe first to give a quick view, because what is Toyota Mobility Foundation? If you carry the name Toyota, you normally don't have to introduce yourself. But we are the nonprofit part of this big organization. So we're relatively small. We're about 40 people around the globe. So we have our offices, head offices in Tokyo, but in Bangkok, Brussels, Berlin, Plano, and Washington. And we are addressing issues that are not part of the group, because we receive our funding from our Toyota Motor Corporation. But we're looking really how we can build a sustainable mobility for the future that is also inclusive and resilient, and is looking at various touch points, working together with partners. And that brings us to this challenge, because therefore we're working like with Venice, like with other cities and regions, because no one of us can address the issues of today alone. We have to work together with partners, and that's what we try to do. So we're looking in finding the right partners. We're financing them towards a shift to a more inclusive mobility for everyone in the future.
Yeah, really interesting. So, Paola, can you tell us why Venice is part of this? What are your goals? What are you doing together with Toyota Mobility Foundation?
So starting from, I have to say, ancient time of try to make the mobility more sustainable in the city, we took some initiative, investment, policies, campaign to people. But at the end, briefly, we are not satisfied about the result, especially we didn't reach our target goals in shifting from the private, from the huge use of private car, maybe because we are Italians, you know, we are passionate about cars, towards the use of more sustainable a mobility model like biking or even local public transportation and sharing mobility. So we want really together through the Toyota Foundation to look for innovators and try to change the behavior of people. We started with an investment, a huge investment, like realizing kilometers of bike lines, but the number of cyclists didn't increase as much as we expected. We involved schools with students, the teacher and parents in order to make them awareness about the change that we have to make in order to reduce the pollution, in order to reduce the traffic, in order to make the roads more safer for them, in order they can walk or cycle to go to school. And together with Toyota, we wanted to find a way to change behavior, to shift.
A big undertaking, right? Shifting behavior. This is a frustrating, a big topic, right? Whenever you talk about mobility, it's very, very difficult to change behavior. So what is really facing you? Like, what are the challenges that you're having when you're faced with this, with these behavior changes? What are you seeing, the reluctance from people? Explain a little bit about that.
I think we, because as I said, we try to organize initiatives, campaign, communication campaigns on. I think we have to start more from maybe starting again to analyze needs of the residents, city users, visitors, because you have to take in account about visitors that in Venice we have every year 30 million of presence, as you know, about considering tourists, but not only tourists, but also visitors. For example, the academic sector in attract people. We work a lot in Venice on fragile of the environment, so people coming for studying, everything's related to high tide and so on. So we need to better understand the needs of people moving from one part of the city to another part, and then starting from that, try to I think it's the right word is nudging, to convince people, not forcing, because we try doing forcing with rules, regulation, and so on, but convincing them, but offering something that they need. So we have to start from needs.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Andy, what's your perspective on, you know, focusing on behavior change? Do you think that this is... you know, that should be the main focus? Should we be focusing on other regulations? What is your perspective on it?
I totally agree with what Paola just said. We need to change behavior, and there are different ways. And for changing behavior, you need also technology and the right product. So end of the day, both comes together in a way. If you don't have a solution that is superior to what you have today, then it's a problem to change behavior, because people might find always a reason to not change, because change is nothing humans like to do. And we have learned since childhood, the most convenient thing is to jump in the car, turn on the radio, and shoot into the city. But these days have changed, but our behavior is still the same. So this is what we want to investigate and develop together with partners, and here particularly the city of Venice, who have invested already so much in an infrastructure that is existing, in bike sharing, in car sharing, in a public transport system that is already to a big degree decarbonized. But what does it take really not to take those who depend on the bus and anyway use it? It's rather those who have an option to switch them as well. And I think this is a great opportunity because, Paola, as she described it, she's Italian. Italian have, like Germans, that brings us probably together. We have this passion for cars. You know, it's still sick, but German people wash their car by hand on a weekend. You still see that. Probably not in Italy, but in Italy, they talk about la bella macchina. So if you just force them, they'll find ways around it. And therefore, we have to put new values there. And what the industry I worked and work still all my life for, they did this nicely. They sold freedom. But is it freedom to stand in a traffic jam these days in most of the cities? Can I not find another freedom with other transport modes? And I think this is the opportunity. So looking on the one hand side, yes, the technology is mandatory to have the right product, maybe the right information, the right nudging tools to then change the behavior. Because if we just enforce by regulations or whatever, you know that how easy it is. The next government comes and says, oh, we don't agree, and whoops, the regulations are gone. So we have to go much deeper, and this is what we try to do together.
Yeah, so put that in, I guess, very practically. What are the steps that are being taken together with Venice to put that in place? Paola talked about, you know, defining better the needs of the citizens. So what are the steps that are going to be taken or are being taken?
So currently, we already started in getting more details from the residents of Venice, because first you have to understand your customer. So we started research to go deeper, to drill in the problems, the issues, the expectations. Secondly, we started the challenge because we had invited at the beginning around the globe cities to join us. Venice was one of the winner. But now we're in the second phase. We are searching innovators. Innovators that come up with glorious ideas and said, I have the solution that was never trialed, that was never done before, that might address these issues that we then can match up with the expectations from the citizens. This will be the second big phase. So we take quite some time until September 30th. We have still the challenge open for these great new ideas. It could be product, it could be nudging technologies, various solutions. So we have no limitations for creative people to come up with new ideas. And then after September, we will sit together with our stakeholders that help us in organizing this, Challenge Works, the World Resource Institute, with the City of Venice, with external judges and ourselves, to decide how we're addressing the needs of the residents with the solutions that came forward. And then as of 2026, we only start implementing, but we go through a process then by trialing it. And this is what we do. We're de-risking the problem for the city. Because if you are a city, you have taxpayers, and if you try to do something that was never trialed before, it's not an easy task. Because as a taxpayer might demand, oh, is it really working what you propose? That's sometimes questionable. This is where the Toyota Mobility Foundation is jumping in to de-risk this problem and say, okay, we're financing that. Let's try it. Because only while trying and doing it, we will find out what will help and what will address the issues. And on the long term, will change the behavior of residents and the people coming to visit or to work.
Yeah, thanks for outlining that. I think it's a very practical approach and a good stepwise approach to this. So I guess the call is for innovators to put forth their ideas and put forth those solutions to really meet those challenges in Venice. So that's a good call to action to any innovators listening. how also from the city side, because we have also a wide base of listeners from cities. So I'm wondering how you envision, maybe Paola, you can start, how you envision the solutions developed in Venice also being applied and disseminated to other cities.
Yes, first I would like to add what Andy said, that for us, for the city of Venice, we are looking for innovators, as Andy said, for really a new innovative solution, something in addition to what we already did. And through this challenge, like is built this challenge, for us is the opportunity to work with the private sector together, but at the same time achieving the public policies. So this is a really a public-private partnership for us, because Toyota can give to the city of Venice the opportunity to reach maybe some markets, I have to say, that we don't reach as a city. Because if we go on with the traditional way of selection, companies, then we always come in to the same companies. So this is really what we look for, is that working together with Toyota is to find innovators, real innovators, something that the city administration never see before. Okay. Coming to this question about what can be shared with other situation solution. As maybe I give some details, data about the city of Venice. The city of Venice is, as I said, included the mainland. That means the territory very wide compared with the number of inhabitants. It's for 2/3 of the area water. So you can imagine, and in this water you have the historical islands, many other islands that you have to reach every day to connect with the mainland. And on the mainland, very variety of situation, like the former petrochemical area, very big, one of the biggest ports in Europe, and then the third national airport. So this all bring together different conditions than other cities in the rest of Europe can have. So we have over-tourism, I have to say, unfortunately, to the mainland. Normal residents, yes, in total the inhabitants of the city of Venice are 260,000, and 170,000 live on the mainland. So you have to consider this this situation. So this variety of solution. And I have to say also the environment in which the city of Venice is situated, it's very interesting for different cities in Europe. And this I experimented with the activity of design project with other cities in partnership for the European cohesion policy. In this since 2008.
Yeah, thanks for outlining all of those things and also painting us a picture of Venice. Andy, how is the Toyota Mobility Foundation really planning to take these lessons from those three cities and apply them to help other cities?
Well, as Paola said, our focus is really to address the issue, and the issue is not only common to Venice. Every major city in Europe, and we have historical cities. Our cities are hundreds of years old. Venice is in a lucky position that they have still the beautiful island, and therefore a very special situation. But overall, it's the same. So if we build a modular system, and if it's technology, if you look at it, if it's a Google or something, it's applied in Venice or in Hamburg. It doesn't really matter. And this is what we look for. So the visual implementation, the localization might be different in a different context, but the technology behind it, and this is what we want to help, because cities normally don't have, as Paola clearly said, access to some of the startups, maybe access to capital. If we cover that, it's easier for cities then to implement what was already trialed, localize it, And we have many examples here in Germany, for example, where we worked with the foundation for a couple of years in the city of Trier that is now being carried over to the rural area in south of France. So this is already inherited in our way how we operate, that we are looking for solutions that are scalable, where we have open source solutions, hopefully, that many can benefit from it, and then localize it. And avoiding the big cost, what these days for every city is a major issue, because no one is so rich that we can say, just change it. It's not working. And therefore, it needs this public-private partnership to really bring ideas forward.
Totally agree with this approach, Babel. We're also really involved with this, trying to figure out how to better bridge this public-private divide. So definitely on board with that. With these initiatives and these steps that are happening in the next several years, how will you really measure the success of them? And how will you, I guess, adapt to make sure that there is success over the coming years?
Paula, you want to go first or should I jump in?
Whoever wants to answer that one.
What we want to obtain is a long lasting change in mindset on sustainable mobility. So this will be the KPI that we wanted to keep under control. So it's starting from this change of behavior, and then we will measure, of course, as always the city does, with many system of like a smart control room. We want to measure the better air quality and the urban space more safer, some reducing the traffic, also the increase of the urban public spaces, and then make the city more inclusive for all kind of citizens, and this collaboration, co-design together with the citizens of the needs, and so, and then the solution for sustainable transport modes.
Yeah, very good. Do you have something to add to that, Andy?
Well, I think, as Paula said, KPIs are relatively easy to set when we know the expectations from the customers, the residents, first of all, and we can measure it in a way then with the solution where we can set targets. If we increase the amount of bikes being shared, the users of public transport, of the figures go up. But I would be a little bit careful setting the expectations too high, because behavioral change will take time. And Venice did a lot, but it didn't work. So we have to really look into realistic targets. And the realistic targets we have to develop with our partners. If there's, I give you an example, and it's something totally crazy now, don't take that literal, that won't be one of the solutions. But if you have suddenly a shared vehicle where, as a good Italian, you get served an espresso while you get in the morning, and you're chauffeur driven, you have Wi-Fi in there, and maybe this is something what Italians jump on and say, wow, I always wanted to have a driver, have a beautiful espresso while I'm being driven to my office with other people. I can enjoy a jet, because Italian people are social, contrary to, no offense against Germans, but we tend to be a little bit more closed up. So you know, there maybe you see a quick result. I don't know if that solution exists, but you see, it's these kind of things that might change behavior quicker, because it reflects Italian kind of normal connection with society. But this will the process show. So it's a little bit early at this stage to say how we will measure. We will definitely measure, because it's the Toyota way we always promote, is PDCA. So we're planning currently, then we're doing it, we're checking it, and then we draw our conclusions out of it. And this is a process that's always running. So we're always setting targets, because over the time period that we develop this project, we have to adjust, because I doubt that from the beginning on it will be perfect. I've never seen that in life. So there's always an iterative process in developing. And this is what we're for. So we look for partners, innovators that have the same idea that come up, and the process is built like that, that we have semi-finalists, finalists coming up with the ideas, and we're funding already the ideas to bring them to the next stage. And then at the end, we have hopefully the big bucks for the implementation as of 2026, and then rolling it out in a successful way.
I really hope that in a couple of years I talk to you and you say, oh yeah, the chauffeur with the espresso is the thing that really, really worked. I would love that so much. If that was the key to everything, all behavior change in Italy.
It was a quick shot, but
but it is brilliant, right? You really have to appeal to people's to the culture and to everything to get any kind of behavior change. So you really have to be creative and explore every avenue. So I like that approach also. So for those who are listening today, you outlined for innovators, for companies, for innovators, people who have ideas, what are the next steps for getting involved?
Well, if you're an innovator, you should start looking in our webpage, the sustainablecitieschallenge.org. There you find all the information, because time is limited. We have only till the 30th of September to receive your idea that is hopefully innovative and beyond my idea with a coffee. So we expect from the technology side, whatever you deem to change behavior, and as we outlined before, we think it takes multiple solutions to bring together to really reach our targets. And then we will be able also to answer your questions, because you have also a button there where you can arrange one-to-one with our colleagues to explain you a little bit more about the challenge, what we expect, how we measure, then also the ideas that were brought forward. And beginning of next year, we have the selection of the winning ideas with our colleagues from Venice to really move forward and start then a little bit later, the implementation of the first ideas, the trialing, the development, or whatever.
Yeah, brilliant. And for any other listeners, do you also have a call to action? Anything that they should do to get involved?
Well, everyone can start at home, I think, because we do this challenge with Venice. Mm-hmm. I think behavioral change starts with you yourself. Think about how you can reduce maybe your daily trip with a car. Using a bicycle. Follow us, because we will have also information on our webpage on the stories that emerge out of these projects, and learn from it, because it's one project. The issues we have are global. The issues are big, and we have to start in small steps everywhere. And I think if you see already ideas, so also other cities, if you say, wow, we are interested in that, drop us an email at the Toyota Mobility Foundation. Our contacts are given, and stay in touch with us. We are happy to share. We want to involve as many as possible people in this process, because the challenges are everywhere the same. Changing a behavior that we have learned over the last maybe 30, 40 years that caused us in this trouble, and this we have to revert back to a more normal, and helping cities to breathe again for better air quality, for better quality of life, and for the freedom that the car once gave us, which today is much more a little bit, well, a prison. Because sitting in a traffic jam, I don't consider, even if it's the most beautiful city in the world, is what you want.
Definitely not on my end. Now, I'd like to ask you, because I'm definitely, you know, not totally comprehensive in my questions. So I like to give you also the chance to have a little bit of an open floor in case there's anything that you think we really missed talking about, something that's really important to talk about, to tell our listeners about. Paola, do you have anything in mind that, they really need to know about this?
Yes. Shortly, I want to say to the innovators that want to apply, that be creative and brave. We want a really new solution. So try, as Andy said, we have lasting like 40 days almost. And we don't need a new infrastructure or services. We want to reach behavior change through nudging and needs analysis. So creative and brave.
Yeah. Be creative and brave, yes. And just as a note for our listeners, we'll be releasing this a little bit later, of course, in September already. So please act fast and get on that challenge. So, Andy, did you have anything that we didn't get the chance to talk about yet?
I think we pretty much touched on everything, but one question I always ask myself, being a German as well, and the Italian have such a love for the car as well. This is one question I really ask myself a long time, is, as I'm a little bit older already, is the next generation of Italians ready for model shift? Because changing old behavior is more difficult, but maybe the young generation, I have always hope. Hope is these days anyway a big word. So Paola, what do you think? Is there hope for the Italian next generation for model shift, despite all the beautiful car brands I don't want to name here that you have, which get everyone, at least at my age, still excited about?
Yes, we discussed already about this. I think something's changed. It's changed. We notice when we go to school with initiatives, but also to the teenagers now, that if you ask them if they wanted to take the driving license when we'll be 18 or to have a car, they are not like we were, I and you, Andy, almost the same age. They don't consider the car like the first the priority for them. And I noticed, especially when I travel all around Europe for work in the city, so many young people biking, teenagers instead of driving a car. I think it's changing also in Italy.
Yeah, I definitely see that trend happening, just young people being more conscious of the decisions and the future that they really want in the city. So we're hoping that that is embraced by all generations. So now we move on to our fun segment. And our segment this for today is called Flip the Script. Flip the Script. You are the one asking the questions, and I'll be the one answering them. So it's when you get to ask each other questions. So I'm kind of out of the equation now. You get to do my job for me. Paola, do you have a question that you want to ask Andy?
Yes. My question is, now, Andy, that you better know the environment and our policies in Venice. You came more than one time. And are you ready and especially thrilled to complete, to achieve the challenge together with us?
There come back again to our nations. As a German, basically, Italy was the first country we invaded when the economy was doing better. And since that, I have a very strong relationship with Italy. So I spent many, many years for vacation in Italy. Seeing your commitment, seeing the dedication that the administration of Venice is putting into this project, I'm more and more convinced that we will reach something. And what we discussed before, that also the Italian next generation is a generation far beyond my age that has still this affection to vehicles and sees it in a different way. Yes, I'm convinced we will reach the target and move forward.
Very good. I hope you're happy with that answer, Paola.
Yes.
Good. Andy, do you have a question for Paola?
Well, I asked already one question earlier on Italian youth, but maybe a second one, because that came to the idea just popped up. What would you think about an espresso in the morning in your public transport? Maybe we just have to include an espresso machine and people would be more happy to go on the bus, on the train, because, you know, it's part of the culture.
Yeah, I was thinking now in the Vaporetto. It's the best. You cross the Grand Canal with the Vaporetto in the middle of the center of Venice and you have a coffee. It could be nice. I can suggest to our public company running the local public transportation.
Now, maybe I should apply then for, maybe I'm one of the innovators.
Yes, you should apply. When you know about the concept of smart city, I was impressed when I was studying in Rotterdam. The smart city is considered also if, for example, if you have some gardens for elderly people and you realize in the middle of this area, a space where they can have a couple of coffee or tea together. This is smart city. So perfect also for the transportation.
Yeah, lovely. And then we get to the final question. I think you actually already started answering it a little bit, Paola, on what a smart city is to you. Maybe you want to elaborate a bit on that thought, on what is a smart city to you?
Smart city is to make our cities more livable or even increase the quality of living in the city. And smart city, of course, there is a definition that starts from analyzing data. The data is the input that we need in order to make the policies, in order to improve the quality of life in the city. So smart city is for sure starting from data, but has to include what we call social innovation, so means inclusion for the different target of people, fragile, elderly, young people, and has to be something that has to last longer, like linking to sustainability, to resilience, and to have a cup of coffee together.
Yes, very important. We keep on coming back to the espresso somehow, you know? No, I love it. And it's a question we ask every single guest, right? And so it's really interesting to hear the different cultural aspects and the different perspectives on this question. So I love that as well. Andy, bring us your perspective. What is a smart city to you?
Well, smart city has many factors, but it's probably not surprising when you have the name Toyota Mobility Foundation that I talk about mobility. And for me, a smart city is where an inclusive, resilient, and sustainable mobility offer is allowing residents and visitors to reach their destinations without owning a private car.
Very good. Yeah, very concrete. I love it. With that, we're all finished. It's really been a pleasure to speak to you today. Thank you for sharing your insights. I've gotten to learn more about Venice. I'm really craving a coffee now. So thank you so much for all of your insights. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks a lot and a pleasure to join today.
Yes, thanks a lot. It was a really nice chat together.
Yeah, thank you. And to all of our listeners, all the innovators, first off, if you have a solution that can inspire people to embrace low and zero carbon transport options, and again, be brave and creative, as Paola said, don't miss the opportunity to participate in the Sustainable Cities Challenge. And make sure to do that before September 30th. And of course, to all of our listeners, don't forget you can always create a free account on babble-smartcities.eu. You can find out more about smart city projects, initiatives like this one, solutions, implementations, everything's there. So thank you very much. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you at the next stop on the journey to a better urban life.